why. And we've been looking at starting with why and saying, why Jesus? Why the church? And now, why Vista Ridge United Methodist? If you haven't been with us, this is kind of loosely based off Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why. And he talks about this thing he calls the golden circle. And he says the most successful organizations are the ones that put their why in the center. And they know why they exist, why they do what they do. And then it spreads to the how and the what. He says the what can change as we go along, but the why needs to be centered. That's what drives us. And so our question today is, why Vista Ridge United Methodist Church? I wonder if you've asked yourself that question before. Why are you here? Why do you get up on a regular basis? And why do we exist within this community? As we look at answering that question today, I think we can look at it from two different perspectives. What is our collective why? Why do we exist? Why are we here? What's our mission? And then the other piece that I want to spend some time sharing with you is why I'm excited to be your new pastor at Vista Ridge United Methodist Church. And it's interesting, as I went on a planning retreat in May, kind of knowing that I would be arriving here and we'd be going through a pastoral transition, in May, I thought it would be really neat for all of us to ask the question, why? Why Jesus? Why the church? And I've wrestled with those questions before. But it wasn't until May that I had started thinking about why Vista Ridge UMC. So we kind of put that on the calendar, and I had no clue what the answer would be, what I'd say today. But luckily, through listening tours and having 10 listening tours where I was able to go into many of your homes and sit down and have good conversations with you, I've been able to hear and understand why Vista Ridge United Methodist Church is important to us and to our community. So before we jump into answering those questions, though, I want to look back at the scripture passage we read this morning. It's a letter to the Philippians. So the Apostle Paul was a church planter, and he would go into communities and start churches, and he started the church at Philippi. And then Paul leaves, and he goes to other places, and much of our New Testament is really letters from the Apostle Paul to other churches. And some churches just seem to be getting under his skin. I mean, he hears about them and he gets a little frustrated. He's trying to correct them, give them some training. But the church at Philippi, they've got a special place in Paul's heart. When you look at the writing style and the Greco-Roman style, it's a friendship letter. This isn't a corrective letter. This isn't instructional. This is a friendship letter, somebody who deeply connects with this community. And so he says these words, "I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." What Paul knew was that God was at work within the church at Philippi. See, Paul was now in prison. Things were changing. His life and future was very uncertain. But what Paul knew was that God was at work at that church, that God was going to continue doing some great and powerful things within that community. And so the letter continues, and I want us to look at verses 9 and 10, because I think what Paul prays for them might be a prayer that we might pray for ourselves here at Vista Ridge. He says, "This is my prayer, that your love might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. I pray this so that you will be able to decide what really matters, and so you will be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ." Paul's prayer for them was that they would grow in love and knowledge and insight so that they could decide what really matters. I wonder if that's our prayer for us this morning, that God might fill us with love and knowledge and insight so that we can decide what really matters. In other words, that knowledge and insight might inform our why, so that we know why we exist and why we do what we do. I think as we start wrestling with that question, our why is really our mission statement. Conveniently, we've got the mission statement on the back of our t-shirts, right? So I hope that we don't forget it, but instead that we become so ingrained and so connected with our mission statement that we can all recite it. But our why is building life-giving relationship with God, with each other, and with our community. And this was a mission statement that was established before I got here. So I've only been here 7 weeks, but as I started hearing about this mission statement, I started wrestling with it and saying, is this alive and well within our church? And what I see is that this church very much values life-giving relationships with God. Right? When we come in here and we worship God, and we talked about this a lot last week with Why Church, but when we come and we gather, we build our life-giving relationship with God. We do that through our worship, the words that we sing. We do that through reading scripture together, through praying, and we've got our time of silence that hopefully prepares us to also have those prayer times throughout the week. We participate in the sacraments together, communion and baptism. I've seen life-giving relationships with God in this place. And then that moves us to life-giving relationships that we have with each other. And we find that in small groups and in Sunday school classes. We find that every time we get together, and there's this big desire I've learned to know each other's names. That's why we have name tags in here. Because we believe that life-giving relationships often start with knowing somebody's name. And then getting to know their story and know more about them. And then what we find is that folks are doing life together. And I've heard story after story of this person was there for me when I was in the hospital. This person was there for me when my loved one passed away. This person was there for me in my darkest hour. And those relationships bring about life. Wherever we find death and troubles, there's life-giving relationships in here. I've seen those and I've witnessed those, and you've shared story after story about how this congregation values relationship and intimacy with one another. It's life-giving because the Holy Spirit's ingrained within it. And then what I've also witnessed is that there are life-giving relationships with our community. In fact, as I think about community, I think of the words of what John Wesley said. He says, "Gratitude toward our Creator cannot but produce benevolence to our fellow creatures." Gratitude towards our Creator cannot but produce benevolence to other creatures. And what I when we look at that, it's really God spurring us to love our community in a deeper, fuller way. Last week with Rockbrook Elementary teachers, we had about 30 teachers and administrators from Rockbrook here. There are about 100 staff at Rockbrook. So about a third of the teachers from their school were here. That's pretty life-giving. And when I think about whether we have life-giving relationships with other people in our community, I often like to think, if our church ceased to exist, would anybody notice? Would anybody care? There's churches on every other street corner in our area. If they closed down, would we notice? I hope we would. And the same goes for us. We know that we've got life-giving relationships with our community when we find ourselves making a difference and connecting with Rockbrook or Salvation Army or Christian Community Action. And so for those many reasons, I feel like we are living well into our mission statement. And this past week, somebody kind of openly and honestly said, "Clay, does our mission statement still resonate with us? Like, you're going to be preaching about it, talking about it. Do you think we still need this mission statement?" I thought that was a really good and honest question from them. And something that I, as an incoming pastor, had to reevaluate. Was this a mission statement that had been thrown up on a wall years ago and then had slowly died? Or was this something that was active? And so I started, I've been, since I got here, thinking about this mission statement. And what I've seen is, yeah, this mission statement is alive and well. We're living into it. And I think it fits certain criteria for us. The United Methodist Church, we've got our Book of Discipline. And within it, there's this confession of faith that's part of our doctrinal standards. And it says this about the church. Listen to this while we think about our mission statement. "The church exists for the maintenance of worship, the edification of believers, and the redemption of the world." So the Methodist Church says that the church exists for the maintenance of worship. I think that's life-giving relationships with God. For the edification of believers, that's life-giving relationships with each other. And the redemption of the world, our community. And so I think it connects with who we are as Methodists. And then it moves forward. I think if we also look at a different filter, we can look back at the early church at Philippi. And say, does our mission statement connect with churches that we find in the scriptures? And when you read the book of Philippians, what we find is they had this life-giving relationship with God. Paul's letter is all about this connection that they had with one another and with Christ. But then we move through the letter, and what we find out is that Paul is madly connected with these people. He's got this deep desire to be with them and be connected with them. And I look at that, I'm thinking, he's got a life-giving relationship. He's sitting in prison, and yet he's yearning to be connected with this church at Philippi. And as we read through the letter, what we find out is that their connection with God and their connection with each other leads them to focus on their witness to the rest of the community and the rest of the world. I think our mission statement connects with Scripture and it connects with our Wesleyan heritage. And last week we mentioned that the church, why the church? We said the church is a training ground for love. It's a place where we can live into the greatest commands of loving God and loving our neighbor. And I think this passes that test as well. So we need this. It's part of who we are. It's our mission statement. And when we think about the why question again, why do we exist? I want to give you permission to hold our mission statement in front of us and then ask the question, is what we do connect with our why? And I know many of you are involved in many different ministries and missions of this church. And I hope that as you are involved with those, you say, is this ministry meeting our why? Does the what that we're doing connect with who we are and our why? And what we know is that churches over the years need to change, and all churches do that, right? Sometimes our what's no longer resonate with the culture around us. Sometimes our what's kind of year after year kind of morph, and they no longer resonate with the why. So if you are doing something that's part of the what, you've got permission to kind of evaluate and say, okay, so are we really hitting our why? Are we hitting our mission statement? And if we're not, how do we tweak this ministry? How do we change it just a little bit to make sure that it resonates with our why and our main purpose for being here in the community? So as I think about our why, that's part of it, why we exist, and that's our mission statement, right? And then here's the other piece that I want to spend a couple minutes sharing with you. And you could throw those words up on the screen now. But this is the why I'm excited to be here as your pastor. So over the past 7 weeks, I've had so many different conversations with you. I've gotten to hear why you care about this church, why you come here, what resonates with you. And what I've heard over and over again from the listening tours is that these words start emerging and story after story starts helping me understand and have a better picture of why this church is important. Because my guess is that if you were to talk to a friend and they said, why Vista Ridge United Methodist? You might be able to weave our mission statement into it. But my guess is that you're going to have some personal stories. And those personal stories are going to start including some of the words that I have up here on the screen. When I think about what I've heard, I know that this is a place for family and for community. And I've heard that over and over and over again. That this church is my extended family is what people say. This is part of my community. And there's that desire to be there for one another, to pray for one another. This church thing, if you've got a prayer request, you put it on the prayer sheet, you're going to be asked about it, and you're going to be prayed for, and your needs are going to be taken care of. This is a community. This is a family. And within that, what I find is that we value people from the youngest to the very oldest of us. That all of our ministry is extremely valuable. And so I hear people over and over saying, I love the fact that my kids can be in worship and make a little noise. And I appreciated hearing that because that gave me permission to not freak out when my son runs back and forth in here. So it's like, woo. But we do that. We acknowledge the need for children in our worship space. I don't know if you know, but every week our sound booth is packed with teenagers. We see teenagers back here, teenagers here, teenagers in the back. They are helping lead us in worship. We value them. And we value each and every person's ministry in the church. A family has the youngest and it's got the oldest. And so there's important ministries for every single person in between, and we value the wisdom and the experience of those who have been there before and gone in front of us, and you contribute just as well. We have this beautiful mix, and we call this family, this community that I kept hearing emerge over and over and over again, and that sounds like life-giving relationships. Another word I heard over and over again was authentic or genuine. And when I think about worship in this space, that was my first word, the first time I watched on Facebook as I was kind of stalking y'all to figure out what you were about. I came across the worship part. And I went, that is so authentic. They are passionately connecting with God in this place. But there's a sense of authenticity that permeates everything that we do. On our first Sunday here, Aaron and I had y'all hosted a little reception for us in the fellowship hall. And so we got to meet a lot of you. We had a lot of kind of short conversations. But at the end of it, Aaron and I got home and I said, Aaron, what did you think? And she said, this is a place where I can truly just be myself. And I thought, coming from a pastor's spouse, that is the greatest compliment that she could give the church. This is a place where we value authenticity of just simply being ourselves and doing life together. And I think that authentic witness then leads to serving. And I heard person after person talking about their desire to give back and care for those in the community, whether it's at Rockbrook, whether it's Salvation Army. There's this authentic love for Jesus that then extends for an authentic love of our neighbor. So serving is a part of who we are. And then I also heard the words diverse and inclusive over and over again. I heard people share, I love that our church is diverse, that we welcome people. We've got people of all ages, races, ethnicities, sexual orientations, and the list goes on. And there's this sense of we are extremely diverse and we're inclusive. We love Jesus so much that we want to make sure every single person has the opportunity to fall in love with Jesus as well. We want to make sure that we remove roadblocks from people and just let them feel the same life-giving relationships that we've experienced. And I hear this over and over again in all these listening tours, and I got excited. And then over the past week or so, I was given a stack of cards, and it says, Why I Love This Church. And there's good news and bad news about these cards. I think you filled them out about a year or so ago, and it's Why I Love This Church. And I started reading them, and I got goosebumps. I got excited and inspired to read all the things you wrote on them. And so that's the good news. The bad news is that they sit in my office, and I'm the only one that can see them. And so here's my challenge to you this week. This is kind of your homework, if you will. Other people are asking the question, why Vista Ridge United Methodist Church? And they're looking on Google, and they're looking on Facebook, and they're looking at our church and many other churches. And I hope they find a church to connect with. But what I know is that if you help answer the question, why VRUMC, on Google reviews or on Facebook reviews, you'll help other people have a better understanding of who we are as a church. And you might just do 5 stars and write something simple, but my guess is that if you get a little vulnerable, if you share who you are and why you love this church, there's going to be someone else out there that's looking for a church family that doesn't yet have those life-giving relationships with God or with others, and they're seeking that out. And your story, your testimony, your witness will help them discern whether this is the place for them. So I hope you'll do that. If you're saying, I've never done a Google review, I've never done a Facebook review, I don't even know how to get on those, we will be sending you an email this week that will guide you through that completely. And then for others of you, you might just do that by the end of this sermon and do a quick review. Either way, if you've got your phone out, I'm not gonna fault you. So, because we need to answer that question, why VRUMC? I've heard a lot of answers, and I hope that you share your answers, not just with me, but with other people in the community. Share it with the online world so that we'll connect with more people. And so I've got one more word I want to lift up, and it's not necessarily a word I heard over and over again at listening tours, but when I think about why I'm excited to be here, I think that this church can be agile. It can be flexible. It can be nimble. What I've grown to know about this church is that we are a church that has no debt, which is pretty awesome. Woo! Yeah. See, our churches all find themselves in kind of an interesting, unique situation. The Apostle Paul was writing in a pre-Christian context. When he wrote this letter to the Philippians, the Christian culture was not a massive movement. And in fact, it really didn't become kind of normalized until Constantine in the 4th century. So the Apostle Paul is writing to this early church, and they don't have these big buildings, and they don't have a lot of momentum from the culture, but what they have is an authentic love for Jesus and for one another and for the community. We are now living in a post-Christian culture. And we are in the Bible Belt, and we're in the buckle of the Bible Belt, so sometimes it doesn't really feel like we're in a post-Christian culture. But the reality is the trends that started in Europe have come to the coast, and they're kind of more and more coming closer to Dallas, Texas. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, that's just kind of a fact. And so we find ourselves in a time and a space where the Christian culture isn't just propelling us forward. We're not in a space where we can build it and they will come. But instead, I think we can be agile and nimble. What I find is that some churches have kind of overbuilt, or they built for ministries in the 1950s, or they built for ministry in the 1990s or the early 2000s, and they said, if we do this, then we're going to have this ministry, and it's just going to skyrocket the community around us. And what we found is that the culture has shifted so much. But so where we are, we've got a really nice building, and we've got some good space together. And so what I'm hoping that we as a church can be nimble, that we can be flexible, that we can say, okay, so how do we take this authentic Christian witness of loving God, loving each other, and loving our community? How do we think outside the box? How do we think outside the walls of the church? How can we connect with this community that's around us, these folks that don't have these same life-giving relationships? How can we offer that? And I'm excited because I think we can be nimble in that. That we'll be able to be a community that offers those life-giving relationships. So I'm grateful for that. I'm excited to be here and be a part of it. And so when I think about why VRUMC, I just get really excited for ministry and years of building relationships, those life-giving relationships with y'all. So I want to end today by reading a prayer from the Apostle Paul from the Message Translation. So I invite you to be in prayer and hear Paul's words, which might be our words today. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and the praise of God. Amen. And now I want to invite Stephen Greenwade, our lay leader, to come forward and share a little good news with you.